Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be.
Well, good morning, and welcome to our Sunday morning service. We trust that you are blessed. It is a privilege to be able to stand and share. And I wrote one or two things down during worship because they did speak to me. And whenever I hear that song about laying down your hurts, laying down your shame, the thing that strikes me is the line that says, come as you are. So often, for me, in my walk, in my journey, that's been a difficult one, to come as I am, because I seem to think that maybe I'm not tall enough or short enough or thin enough or wide enough. Maybe I'm not smart enough or dumb enough. In other words, I'm never going to get it right. Yet God says through his word, come as you are. And that's a reminder, I believe, for us today to know that God, whosoever will, may come. Whenever I look at photographs that Nigel has taken during events, he seems to catch me like this. And most photographs are of me with my arms out. And I wondered, as we was through worship today, why my arms were out yet again. And I just picture me saying to my grandchildren, come. Can you imagine that? And I also picture Christ on the cross saying, come. I also picture the Father with the prodigal saying, come. And so, come as you are, the Lord says to you and to me afresh today, regardless to where you think you are. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And I made a decision this morning to listen intently to the songs that we have, to listen to the prayers that were being prayed outside when I was in the back room with Clive, to say, Lord, is there anything fresh for us today in the sense of this minute by minute? And we talk about God's love. I just want to read one or two things that I've written down here before I read scripture. Talking about family at the beginning of the year. A family. And it's our natural family and our spiritual family. And someone said to me last week, they saw their daughter at a function and they were running around trying to make friends with a particular person. And they didn't want to know. And he said, you know what, we can't force people to be our friends. And that's such a true statement. We can't force people to be our friends, but we've been born into a family. And I don't know about you, but some of my family, they're the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I love them. Why? Because I'm part of a family. So we're part of the family of believers, and we may sometimes be like different metals that are blended together. When you blend metals together, you get friction. Anyone else experienced that in church life, or is it just me? Maybe I am that man. But that's what happens. But family will stick together. Family will be there for one another in times of need. And we've looked through the whole process of scars, and I brought this picture of a scar being a wound that's been healed. It's something that hurt. It's something that was visible, tangible. It hurt mentally, emotionally, and physically. But it's been healed. It's something that we can look at and say, look what God has done. It's a wound that's been healed, whether it's a physical, a mental, an emotional, or financial scar. God has built us up. And the Bible talks about building one another up. It also talks about building ourselves up. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. There's an opportunity. In one scripture, it contradicts itself. It says, carry one another's burdens. And then it goes on in a few verses down. It says, carry your own burden. There are times where we are to carry one another because we're family. And there's times where God calls us to build ourselves up, to carry ourselves. And as I was looking and listening to our songs today, the word love, love, love kept coming forward. God so loved the world. We read scripture. We tell stories. Why? I'm glad you asked. We read scripture, we tell stories, we minister one to another to build up the church for works of service. So when we gather together on a Sunday, it's just the beginning of the week. We have the Monday, the Tuesday, the Wednesday, the Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday. Then we have the privilege of meeting together on the Sunday again. so we can celebrate one with another, so we can maybe hear something that will remind us of God's goodness, maybe hear something that will challenge us, encourage us, maybe something that will cause us to stop and to refocus upon who God says we are. It's not the answer to all the questions, but it's an opportunity, I believe, to come on a Sunday to collectively worship and adore Him. We have so much to be grateful for. So we read the scriptures, we tell the story so that we can support one another, so we can go forward and do works of service. Today's songs is about God's love. Lay down your hearts, lay down your shame, come as you are. So come as you are today. Come where you are today, the good, the bad, and the indifferent. Come and have eyes to see and ears to hear. And I just put together one or two scriptures just to provoke us and encourage us to see who we are in Christ Jesus, to see this is a new day, to see, yes, God's word still speaks. It's still fresh. Fix, in Deuteronomy 11, 18, fix these words of mine, the Lord says, in your hearts. He's talking to the Israelites. He's talking about looking at themselves in line with who they are in the Lord. Looking at themselves, and God is saying, follow me. Listen to my words. Teach them to your children. It says in this portion of scripture, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. In other words, there are things that they were told to do to remind themselves of who God is. And I want to encourage you to say, there are things in this New Testament age that we live in that we can do. I don't expect you to have a Karate Kid bandana on with scripture on the front, but you can have a song in your heart. You can have scripture to remind you as you get in the car going to work. Sometimes, as one of the most stressful times for a parent on a Sunday morning is just as you get into the car coming to church, isn't it? Or am I just that one and only parent that seemed to think, oh my goodness, why is it World War III happens when we get in the car to come to church? And when we arrive, we take a deep breath, we warn the kids and we smile. How are you? I'm fine, thank you. And you've just wanted to kill your children. Now, is it just me? You need to pray for me. Susan said this publicly, so I can share this. We used to live next door to our elders in one of our churches. And when I saw Susan closing the windows, I thought, we're going to have words. You know, one of the most stressful times can be when God is working in our lives. And that's why we need to bind them on our wrists, have them imprinted on our minds so that there'll be a song that will encourage you. So as you're in that pit as such we spoke about last week where Joseph had been abandoned, where you're in that pit of despair sometimes. And you know, when I look through the news, I look for the newspapers and you see doom and you see gloom and then you see God's goodness breaking through in your life. So often we can fix our eyes on the bad and we don't see the good, but God's called you to be light. As we was praying earlier, we were reminded, Clive and I, that we are the light. We are those that go into the highways and byways to profess who our Saviour is and bring hope to a hopeless situation. There's a poem that the Lord gave me many years ago, and at some point I will write it down, and it's, who cares? There's war, there's murder, there's hopelessness, there's misery. Who cares? Do I? And it's a poem that the Lord gave me, I believe, which is my testimony, my story of bereavement and sadness and sorrow, and yet it come through in triumphantness when Christ saved me, a sinner. So take these words and put them into practice, because I know that I'm somebody that likes to talk. I know I'm somebody that gives you so much to grab hold of. Sometimes you're not quite sure what the message is. I know that. I understand that. But I want to say and take time by just reading this portion of scripture saying, find what it is that helps you. Find that very verse that helps you. Find that very verse. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If that be the one, when you're going through those trials and tribulations, read it. Meditate on it. Have it written in your mind. If there's a song that when every time you hear it, it just lifts you up. I like melancholy songs. I like moody songs. And I like songs that tell stories and speak to my heart. So even though the song may seem sad, it makes me happy. So I will put on certain songs. So encouragement for us as a church as we go into 2018, to take hold of scripture, to take hold of worship, and to meditate on them and have them close at hand for those times of trouble, those times of difficulty. And I'm not saying that when they come, or if they come, I mean, I'm saying when they come. In Psalm 26, verse 2, David says this, is, test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind, for I have always been mindful of your unfailing love. I have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. David understood. David writes in some of his Psalms, he writes things like this. He says, I've been above reproach. I've been sinless. And yet we know his story. How can he say that? Because he keeps short accounts. He keeps short accounts with God. And I want to encourage us afresh today to say, Lord, test me and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. Lord, I want to always be mindful of your ways. Always be mindful of your unfailing love. I want to rely on you and your faithfulness. When we rely on God and his faithfulness, we'll become wholehearted, not half-hearted. So yet again, coming to the end of this first month, as a church, as individuals, we can encourage one another by being mindful, by saying, yeah, sometimes life sucks. Sometimes we walk through tough times. But as the hymn writer says, as God's word says, I will never leave you as orphans. You've been adopted. My love is sufficient for you. So if you rely on me, I will let you down. If you rely on your income, you will be let down. If you rely on your intellect, you will be let down. If you rely on others, you will be let down. But God says, if you rely on him, he will never leave you or forsake you. That's what the scripture says. So I want to bring that word of exhortation, bring that word of challenge today to help us go into the week, so that we can rely on his faithfulness. Because I say this with confidence, full assurance that Jesus is mine, full assurance that he will not let you down, that he will be like the father standing, waiting and looking for the prodigal son to come home, that he will be there to forgive, he will be there to keep short accounts. So rely not on our own understanding, but fix our face upon him. In Matthew 5:3, it talks about the blesseds. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, there is a message in the whole Beatitudes, a message in the whole section of these scriptures, but I just want to take them at face value at this moment. Blessed or blessed. That's favor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice. Let me say that one again. Blessed are you when people insult you. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. So if we just look at that afresh and look at these words, rejoice and be glad. So when people persecute you, rejoice and be glad. Why? because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus is bringing an encouragement to his disciples, to his people, and he's saying, you are blessed when people persecute you, if you believe in me, if you trust in me, because you can rejoice, because there is a hereafter. When we look through people's life stories, when we look at the beginning and we look at the end, when people are coming to the end of their life, then I am so thankful that I don't have to judge. I am so thankful that God is the one that knows the heart of the individual. I am so thankful that there is a parable called the 11th hour worker. So regardless if you've worked in the kingdom all the day through the heat of the day, or you come in at the 11th hour, the reward is the same. Good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. But how can we gain this joy? How can we rejoice? I hear you ask. How can we rejoice when people insult us? Because we take our insults and we place them on the cross. Come as you are, lay down your burdens, the song said. So I want to encourage you that if you are going through a tough time, or you are to go through a tough time, or you've been through a tough time, it is a cause to rejoice. It is an opportunity to give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances, Scripture says. Not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. Luke 10, 21. At that time, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned. Jesus is talking here. And there's lots of things that we can rejoice, he can rejoice in. He's trying to illustrate certain things to his followers, to his disciples. But it says in verse 21, at that time, when he was talking to those around him, he was full of joy. And he was full of joy through the Holy Spirit. So if you're looking for a theme here, it is joy and the Holy Spirit. It is an opportunity to be thankful because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured out, the Bible says, upon all flesh. It was prophesied through Joel that your sons and your daughters will proclaim of his goodness. That's the Spirit of God. In Acts, we read that the Holy Spirit was poured out and they started to work miracles. We see through Acts that because of preaching through the power of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 were added to their number. Men and women, they were selling their houses so they didn't have too much, so someone else didn't have too little. There was a moving of the Holy Spirit, and that power can only come if we are filled. But Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. I praise you, Father. So the first thing he said after this was, I praise you, Father. So we need to have Scripture written in our hearts, worship to hand, so that we can be those that through the tough times and through the good times, that we can praise God. In Luke 12:12, it says this, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. What's all this about? It's about being before rulers and authorities. And we can make that believe, we can make that say anything we want it to say in our day and age, if you like. If you're a child, you can be going before the headmaster. If you are somebody who has a court case coming up, if you're somebody who have said something because of your faith and you're reprimanded because of it, the Lord says, the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. And through experience, I've learned this, that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So God can only teach you what you've already seen, articulated, read, heard. If it's in, God will bring it out. So I want to encourage us at the beginning of 2018 to read our Bibles for ourselves. If you're like me and you struggle reading, get the Bible on Audible and listen to God's word. Revelation says, whoever reads this word or hears this word of mine. So we can listen to God's word. We can put it on as we go to work. We can put it on in our lunch break. We can put it on in our quiet times at home. Headphones, and listen to what God has to say to us. But for it to be coming out of our mouths, it needs to go into our hearts. And then the Holy Spirit will teach us. So there'll be times where You'll go into a situation and a circumstance and you'll say, God, I don't know what to do. The Spirit of God says, don't fear. Rely on my faithfulness. I will teach you what to say. And there's a great measuring stick. If you want to know if it's from God or not, always remember that if it's edifying, encouraging, and it's going to promote God's word, if it's going to bless people, lift them up and not pull them down, then you can be pretty sure that's God's word. Is it going to edify? Is it going to build up? Is it going to lift? Or is it going to tear down? Is it going to diminish? So store it up in your heart. So my word for today is, God so loved you that he gave, that he stands at the gates and he opens his arms and he says, come. God so loved you that he endowed you with his spirit. But the Bible says drink. That's not a pun, I just need a drink. The Bible says drink. Come drink. Come drink of me. Let God's spirit fill you afresh today. I hope some of this is making sense to us. In Acts 1, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. And we interpret that by saying, you can be a witness where you are or far off. But if we're going to be people that will witness for God, we need to have the witness of God in us. We need to have the Holy Spirit working on the inside so that our words are not dead words, but live words. Our words are words of wisdom and encouragement. Even when we bring a rebuke, it can be an encouragement. Because if your child is walking towards a fire and you rebuke them, you are doing something for their good. You are saying, if you go this way, this will happen. If we're full of the Holy Spirit, then we will be full of his power. And that when we speak, it will be salt and it will be light. And we'll be able to be witnesses of what God has done in our lives. So even through the tough times, God says, rejoice, for I am with you. And it's hard, isn't it? If you're going through a particularly tough time. When I look at the illustrations I brought last week and the week before about scars, we looked at the story of Joseph where he was betrayed by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was put in a pit right at the beginning. He ended up in the palace, yes, but not until the time had come where he'd been refined and falsely accused of rape. And yet there was something about that man that was different. And if you read the account of the leaders going in to spy out the promised land, you'll hear about a man called Caleb. And scripture says Caleb had a different spirit. Caleb had the Holy Spirit. He had a spirit not of fear, but a spirit of life. He had a spirit that when he spoke, he said, we can surely do this. When someone else would say, we're like grasshoppers, surely they'll defeat us, he would say, no, we can do it. And why do you think that was? And I'm glad you asked me. I'll tell you the answer. Because he read the portion of scripture beforehand. Or it'd been imprinted on his heart where God said, I will give you the land. I will give you the land. Can you imagine if God says, I will, and you believe it, nothing's impossible. You'll have a different spirit. When God spoke to some of you and said, I want you to go, I want you to come, I want you to give, I want you to serve, whatever it was, if you truly believed it was God who said it, it would come to pass, yes? Because God has said it. He had a different spirit. So I encourage you to grab hold of the Holy Spirit afresh today so that whether you're walking through good times or bad times, you can rejoice. You can be rejoice and you can be glad. Whether you have suffered mental, emotional, physical scars, financial scars, you can rejoice. Why? Because your Redeemer lives. They're just scriptures that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. And I'm not one of these people that have a photographic memory, but I do know it to be true that if it's in me, it will come out. So we need not to fear what to say. God will help you. Can I encourage you today to come as you are and say, Lord, fill me afresh so that I can be your witnesses. Because we do what we do. We come together on a Sunday so that we can equip you for works of service. For when you go out into the highways and the byways. In Psalm 37, 1, it says this, do not fret. So I looked at some other translations and they said, do not fret. Do not fret, do not be anxious. And you want to say, it's okay for you. But David knew what it was to fret and to be anxious. He knew what it was to lean on his own understanding and not on God. But he also knew what it was to lean on God. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. And you may say to yourself at times, that's not me. But how many times in our lives have we been faithful? We've been those that will faithfully attend church, home groups, be part of worship, be part of serving. We're faithfully in our giving, in our finances. We're faithful when we forgive people. And it seems to be at times the more we do good, the worse people treat us. Or is that just me? It does, it happens, doesn't it? So when we get scripture like this where it says, do not be envious of those who do wrong. There's so much truth there. And if we leave them to God, then we'll be a lot happier. Like the grass, they will soon wither. I get some comfort from this psalm. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Sorry, Lord, for that, what's happening inside me. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Yes, I want to major on that word, enjoy. Be full of joy. Take delight in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. See, there again, this scripture, when you read it and you read it and you read it and you digest it and not try to go, what does the Greek and the Hebrew and the Latin say? But just take it at face value and say, if I delight in the Lord, he'll give me the desires of my heart according to his plans and purposes. Commit your ways to the Lord. And the word commit means to do something more than just say it, to do it. Trust in him and he will do this. Is that word trust again? It's so difficult, isn't it, to trust people? But God says, trust me. I'll never leave you or forsake you. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the new day sun. Have you ever tried to help God on his way? Lord, can I not just kick this person a few times just to help you? He says, no, wait, because your vindication is like the new day sun. It will come up soon. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. If we want to experience his joy and be full of faith in tough times, we also need to be patient. We need to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways and when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy the peace of prosperity. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that mourn. When we look through the New Testament and we see them words that say, blessed are those that are persecuted because of me. We don't see the inheritance, but when we read the Psalms, it says here, but the meek. Meekness does not mean weakness. It means, Lord, I'm trusting in you. I'm trusting in your ways, not my ways. The meek will inherit the land. What did despised say? We can't take this. What did Caleb say? Surely we can. God said, the land is yours. And he said, I'm going to take it because I have a different spirit. I have the spirit of God within me. And I want to encourage us as a church today as we come to the end of this service and the end of this month, that you can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But it's his strength that comes from the inner being, from the spirit of God. And so often that word, the Holy Spirit, has been mismanaged and misused God's Spirit gives us power and endurance. God's Spirit gives us the capability to mourn with those who mourn, bind up the broken hearts and set the captives free. God's Spirit enables us to do that. God's Spirit enables us to forgive. God's Spirit enables us to give. God's Spirit enables us to worship and to retain His Word. It's God's Spirit. And God wants to pour His Spirit out afresh upon His people, so that we can be full of joy in tough times. We don't need joy when there's no tough times. We need the joy when there's tough times. When we have all that we need, when the bank account is full, when the belly has been satisfied, when our family rejoices with us because they love us, when all things seem to go well, we don't tend to rejoice very much in what God has given us. But when those things are taken away, we start to say, Lord, help me. And when they're restored, we give Him thanks. Let's give Him thanks before they're taken away. And let me give you an example. I've been waiting all morning to read this portion of Scripture, right? Let me give you an example of somebody who knew what it was to be beaten, betrayed. Somebody who knew what it was to persecute God's people and to receive God's forgiveness. Somebody who understood that can say, listen, if you want to boast, I can boast all the more. You should have got him by now. A man who says, whether I'm hungry or well-fed, I've learned to become content in all things. That word content is far bigger than what it just sounds like. To be content is to be happy, is to be peaceful, is to have that assurance, blessed assurance, that all is well with my soul. He's learned to be content, whether well-fed or hungry, regardless of the circumstances and the situations, because of his life. And because of his lifestyle and because of his attitude and because of the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside, he could do exactly what this portion of Scripture said he'd done. Acts 16, verse 22, the crowd joined in. There's a multitude, a throng of people just baying for Paul's blood, just wanting him to be arrested, to be punished, to be put in prison. You have Paul and you have Silas. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. You imagine steel rods. They knew where to beat you for maximum effect. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. So here you have a situation where you have a man of God. When we talk about Paul, many writers, many preachers will say one of the greatest apostles ever to have lived. You could also say about Paul, one of the greatest persecutors of the way that ever lived. One of the people that found joy in persecuting God's people because he thought he was doing God's will. Then he saw a light. Then he got filled with the Holy Spirit and he had a different spirit. And this man who had a different spirit found himself severely flogged and thrown into prison. The jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell. So the inner cell is exactly what it says. It's a cell within a cell. There are no external windows in an inner cell. Susan and I, we went to see Phil and Sarah in America a while ago, and we went to Alcatraz. And they let me out, so that was good news. Went to Alcatraz. And it was as it was when they closed it down. All the cells were there and the beds were there and all the bits. And they had a solitary wing. And I tell you, I went in and I was afraid to shut the door in case it didn't open. It was pitch black. You couldn't see anything. That's the picture I get when it says here that he was put into the inner cell. So he was put into darkness. And so you have a man of God plunged into darkness. So if I want to just be a little bit evangelistic with this portion of Scripture and say, there are times where you, man, woman of God, you find yourselves in a dark place. And it's easy to do what the psalmist says don't do. It's easy for you to grumble and say, it isn't fair, Lord, because how can they can be blessed and I serve you and I'm not blessed? How come, Lord, that they don't ask for forgiveness yet you forgive them? That they seem to have everything that is going for them, and I have everything against me because you're in a dark place. Well, here's a man who understood what it was to be beaten, rejected, and put in a dark place. And he has something that I think we ought to grab hold of. He has a different spirit, the Holy Spirit, so he could do what this scripture says he did. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. The chains were put on. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. I just marvel at this portion of scripture, that here they are beaten for preaching the good news, thrown into darkness for preaching the good news. And what does Paul and Silas do at midnight? They start to pray and they start to sing hymns to God. The other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake. Where did we read that before? In Acts. There was a blowing of a violent wind where the Spirit of God turned up. There was an earthquake. That the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains were loosed. As I said, I wanted to take what hymns we were singing today and try and weave them into my message. And there was a hymn that said, "Our chains will fall off." See, when we sing, when we give him thanks, when we pray, our chains will fall off because God's word is true. Whether you find yourself in that dark place or not, I want to encourage you to let the breath of God breathe afresh upon you. Can I invite Jackie and Sarah back up? I'm going to read a portion of scripture that weren't on my playlist today, but through prayer, I just want to read this to you as we're finishing with a final hymn. And it's in Ezekiel 37, verse 1. "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord." So here again, we've got somebody being directed by the Holy Spirit. "He set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw the great many bones on the floor of the valley. Bones that were not just dry, but very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?'" And I want to ask you to ask yourself, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Are they dry? Are we going to ask God to fall afresh, awaken us? What a question. I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." A great deferral. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones." In other words, speak to these bones and say to them, "Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life." As we were praying, I said to Clive, because he gets 3 sermons on a Sunday, he gets 2 in the prayer room and 1 here. And I said, the difference between the dry bones and the living bones was the breath of God. The Ruach, the breath of God, the Spirit of God coming in. And the difference between a dead man and a living man spiritually is the breath of God. So I want to encourage you in your way during this hymn just to say, "Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit so that when I walk through tough times, the joy of the Lord will be my strength. That when I'm beaten and thrown in darkness, the joy of the Lord will be my strength." Because we are called in platform ministry, if you want to call it that. We are called to equip the saints for works of service. We're called to equip you so that when these things happen, you will have everything you need. You will have it written on your forehead, impregnated upon your heart, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And you will have a scripture that will speak to you in the good times and the bad times. You will have a song that you can sing when you're walking through valley experiences. Does this make sense? It's an equipping so that you can be who God's called you to be, where he's called you to be it. So that when you leave this place, you can go into the highways and the byways and proclaim, not fearing what you're going to say or what you're going to do, because you're going to be full of God's Spirit and he will teach you. Read your Bibles afresh this year. Ask God to give you eyes to see and ears to hear. Say, "Lord, I want a Caleb spirit. Lord, I want to be a man and a woman that will hear what you say, do what you do, be who you've called me to be. And God's called you to be the head and not the tail. Amen? Amen. Just one moment.
Sorry.
If you're going to share, you're going to have to share to all of us.
Okay. Right. Okay. I've had this on my heart all morning. I'm battled because I'm not at a place at the minute in church I can serve because of physical things. But actually, if you look around at the empty seats, the children, when they've gone out in the youth, there's some youth in here still, and workers, there's a lot of gaps. And even before they went out, I felt God really implant on my heart to share with the church, really. I was 9, had to go to church, to be honest, and that was when the battle starts. When your parents become Christians, start walking out in church, that is when the battle starts. That is when life as a child in a Christian family gets tough out there. Jesus knows that, and the Holy Spirit goes with each one of these children and youth wherever they go. But I just felt God really wanted to impress on all of our hearts, we can daily lift up each one of these children that have gone out. They are almost like lambs out into that world. Clive brought that message, lambs to be slaughtered. That's something that Lisa and I have had really implanted on our hearts. But as I saw them go out, you know, our children are really, really vulnerable. I went to church. Nobody would have known how my children lived in a house of abuse. God knew that, and he's brought us out of it. But we do not know. We have children come into our set, and we haven't got a clue what they go through. They didn't ask to come into this world. They actually don't mean to take this the wrong way. But, you know, I, at 9-year-old, didn't ask to go to church. There's far better things I could have been doing on a Sunday. But actually, praise God, he is faithful. And I knew at 9 he had saved me, but I just found it very boring. And I'm sure, you know, our children, the enemy is out there to pluck them, to really, really pluck them out of the God's hand. So we can actually do our part every day. I just had Toby on my heart. Molly texted last week about Toby, and we have every day when his name has come to our mind, lifted him up. So just ask God to put their names in our hearts, and actually let's do our business and pray for them. There is a lot of empty seats. They are the future church, and actually we can pray prophets, ministers of God's grace into their lives even now. And we do have a responsibility, I really believe, for from the youngest to the teenagers, to stand with these and just be there.
Amen. I need to process things. What I'll say is, if God gives you something, bring it at the beginning as well, because then we can celebrate together. But as we ponder upon what the Lord has said today about being in tough times, about having something written on our hearts and a song ready to sing, it's something that we can transfer to our children, that we can say, if God is for you, who can be against you? There's the same message, but articulated in a different way. It's articulated in a way that they can understand. That's why we have Sunday church outside, as well as Sunday church inside, so that they can hear God's grace in a different format. But the thing is this, even in their young lives, the difference between dead bones and live bones is the breath of God. And you see, God doesn't withhold his spirit until you get to 16. He gives you it now. He pours it on you now. He gives you grace now. He gives you his joy now. So I want to finish with a prayer, and then we will finish with a hymn, Jackie. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you, Jesus, that you so love us, that you give us one another. And that, Lord, you can speak into our hearts about all subjects. And, Lord, today we bring our children afresh to you. Father, hedge them by your blood. Encourage them by your word. Inspire them through your psalms. Protect them by your blood. Father, we pray that you will give us a Caleb spirit, Lord, that we will be men and women that will see your plans and purposes unfold even when we walk through tough times. That, Father God, we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, we thank you that we have breath in our lungs, that we can praise you. We ask you to walk with us, be with us, never leave us. We ask this in your name, Jesus. And all God's people said...
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired. And our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.